You're listening to the Sustainable Parenting Podcast, and I want to talk to you today about the secret to easier meals with your young kids. I hear a lot that kids are getting up, running away, that kids are bugging each other and fussy, or that kids are always negative about what it is you're cooking. And let me tell you, this is a hot topic, but it's one that I want to make easier for you. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome to the Sustainable Parenting Podcast. Let me tell you, friend, this place is different. We fill that gap between gentle parenting and harsh discipline that's really missing, to parent with kindness and firmness at the same time and give you the exact steps to be able to parent in ways that are more realistic and effective, and for that reason, finally feel sustainable. Welcome. So as we dive into helping meals be easier, we have to start with the essential pieces. First of all, I want to have a caveat that the advice that I'm giving is not from a perspective of being an expert nutritionist. And if you have a child that's having a special dietary issue or a sensory issue, I definitely want you to get some support with that. Some children can literally be having challenges with their palate in terms of not having the sensory openness, I guess I would call it, to eating different foods. And so we have to start there. If you're having an extreme challenge with your child eating anything, I would recommend reaching out to a pediatric occupational therapist because they specialize in helping expand with textures and smells what the child is more open to eating. Secondly, I want to then say, what are the key components that make our meals be miserable? I find that the main ingredients are these three things. We are negotiating with a terrorist. We are not clear on any agreements in advance. And we are having unreasonable expectations that are not easy to meet. So let's dive into how we can fix those three things so that it can go easier. The first thing that we can do is let's take a look at the aspect of negotiating with a terrorist. If you've been negotiating with a terrorist, that means that whenever the child gets upset or resistant or defiant and emotional, then your nervous system is flaring up and it feels insurmountable to go at that battle, and you end up in some sort of negotiating with this child in their terrorist mode. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the kids are terrorists. I'm saying they can get in a terrorist mode, just trying out to see if that works and gets them what they're looking for. And it's on us. If that works, we are feeding more terrorist behavior. If it doesn't work, we are bringing out more of the wise, kind, solution-focused part of our child. So what we want to do here is, if a child is saying, gross, I don't like that. Ew, I'm not eating this. Here are a couple key phrases that I want to offer you. The first is a replacement, which is a follow-up from our episode 46 and how to re-script. So re-scripting in a mealtime where a child is refusing and resistant to the food can sound like it sounds like this is not your favorite. So any time a child says, ew, yuck, I don't like that, I say back to the child, I hear that it's not your favorite. Yep, that's okay. And in the essence of what we talk a lot about here of I love you and the answer is no, I can also emphasize, I hear that it's not your favorite and it's what we're having today. So these are some really important, valuable ways that we can re-script and respond if they are being that terrorist instead of getting into an argument or feeling like then we have to become a short order cook. So that leads into the second key thing, which is making agreements in advance. If you are just, you know, flying by the seat of your pants, going into the night, hoping that they're going to enjoy the meal, and then, oh gosh, we're hit with this, they're saying they don't like it, and you're not firm on your agreements in advance, you are likely going to be wobbling into, oh, okay, I'll just make you this other thing to please stop crying or please stop arguing with me. Instead, I want you to stay in the driver's seat. This is your opportunity to notice a pattern. And if it's something that's happened more than once, it's a pattern. And so if there's a saying that a mentor once told me, like, if we can predict it, let's make a plan for it. So if we can predict it, let's make a plan for it. Let's step back and within ourselves or with our partner, let's say, what do we want to have be our agreements here so that we're not waffling in the heat of an upset moment? And let me just say a side note right here, that if you have struggled with being explosive with your kids, like you feel like you're caught in this cycle we call the monster mom, gentle mom cycle, where you are trying to use kind direction and kind explanations, and you then end up getting to the end of your rope and just exploding or just giving in. It's often this issue that you haven't been making enough agreements in advance. And heck, in the heat of a moment where we're like having our nervous system flare up because we're hitting the response, we're having the response, we're being faced with this like aggression and crying or whatever the expression is from our kids. Of course, it's easy if you're debating in that moment, like, I don't know, am I open to making something else? Is this unreasonable? I think sometimes like maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe I'm being too lenient. If you're doing all of this debate in the heat of a moment, then that's what often leads us to be more frustrated with ourselves and or our child afterwards, or our partner, because they're the one that maybe went through that same process in the heat of the moment and ended on a different answer than we would have. So let's do the thinking when our brain's most able to do the thinking. Outside of the moment of being at a meal, let's make an agreement in advance that whatever is true for your family, there is no absolute truth with a capital T on the rules around food, but I want you to decide what you want the rules to be for yourself. So options within that are when-thens, when you've eaten this amount of dinner, or when you've eaten at least this many bites, or when you've eaten at least one food option off of your plate, then you can have fruit as our dessert or have a sugar dessert, whatever you're doing. It could be when you are sitting at the table, then you get to participate in the dinner game. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. It could be, you know, meals are what they are, and we don't expect you to have it be your favorite, but we are not making different options. This is what you have. Some families will have one backup option, like vegetable, like carrots or cucumbers, or I had one friend who would do a peanut butter sandwich. So you can say, I'm absolutely not going to be a short order cook and make nuggets and all this other noodles, something else that takes a bunch more time, but you have the option of what I've made for the family or this backup, the vegetables or the peanut butter sandwich. A final option that is an example of an agreement in advance can be that, you know, you try to make sure that you always have something on the plate that is at least one thing that the child will like, and then you're mixing it up with other things. Another way that we managed this when our kids were really young was to have the agreement in advance that we would deconstruct things and not give them overly complex like flavors all mixed in together. So if we were having a chicken curry night for ourselves as adults, we would, before mixing the chicken into the sauce, we would keep out some uncooked bell pepper, some cooked chicken, and rice without the sauce on it for the kids to be able to be eating the same as us, but not quite the same blended and complex flavors. So whatever it is that you do want for your dinner time, your values on if they need to eat a number of bites or if they need to finish, if you have dessert or you don't, what your backup options are, I want you to decide today. Just decide it for yourself. Tell it to your children outside of dinner. This is our new agreement. And that's going to help you a lot with being consistent and not getting to a place of the inner debate of, oh my gosh, am I being too harsh? Am I being too nice? Am I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. You just lean back on what you've decided. And if you need to, put it in writing, put it right there next to the kitchen table so that you are able to reference it when your brain is feeling flooded by the emotional trigger of an upset toddler or young child. And third is, let's make sure we're having realistic expectations of our kids. We typically think that, you know, we need to be teaching them to sit at the table and have a conversation with us. Like, how was your day, son? And he's going to come back as a 4-year-old and be like, you know, I had this sort of interesting new thing that I learned today. And I had this new thought. Did you know this about the solar system? But the fact of the matter is that's not really realistic, especially for the younger a child is. So typically the belief is that it makes sense to ask our children to be at the table about 1 minute per year of their age in terms of like the bare minimum they need to be there. Of course, it can be longer than that, but it's like we need to stretch a little how much we think that they're able to be there. And secondly, if you are expecting that they will sit there and just tell you about their day, what I want you to consider is the option instead of being able to utilize something like we call the dinner game. So instead of just expecting that a 3-year-old will want to have a conversation with me about their day, like we just talked, we bought a question activity off of Amazon, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this where it, you know, table topics or any other resource you find with some fun questions. Also, one of my favorites is a would you rather pack that's always changing. You'll draw from 2 different piles. So there's always complex different questions and silly things like, would you rather have lobster claws for hands or octopus tentacles for legs? And then it helps you to, you know, have a fun, silly conversation. And the rule that we did in our family was when you're at the table participating and eating dinner, then you get to be in the round of choosing the next question. So if sister just chose the last question and you're running off, then you don't get to ask the next question. But when you're at the table, then you get to draw the next question. And even kids that can't read yet, they love being a part of selecting the question. Something about that, so the power of getting to choose the question is really where the magic's at. So three key things that I think can really transform you to have easier dinners and more fun together is to be, number one, thinking about so the three key things that I think will have way more peaceful dinners in your household with young kids is, first of all, don't negotiate with a terrorist. Secondly, make agreements in advance. And third, be realistic and have some fun motivating factors that can encourage the kids to want to be at the dinner table. Now, I know this is not all-inclusive, answering every question about dinner and what might be going on with your power struggles with your young kids. So remember, I am a personal parenting coach, and I love to get in there directly with families that are ready for change to quickly give you all of the components of what might be missing so that you can have more joy and calm and ease in your household. In the show notes, there's a link to be able to set up a clarity call with me, or check out my website, sustainableparenting.com. And as always, friends, let this be another week that you're parenting with kindness and firmness at the same time, so your role as a mom or dad can finally feel sustainable. And friends, please remember, this is a podcast that is intending to serve 200 families this year in our Sustainable Parenting Transformation Program. So if you have gotten value out of this episode, please share it with a friend or family member. And secondly, if you haven't yet left a review, it means the world to us to hear from you. Go down to the end of all of the episodes on your home screen of the podcast and enter the stars and leave a comment, and you could be selected as our listener of the week in one of our upcoming episodes.